Ready? Okay, my name is Shauna, Shauna Cunningham, and Aaron asked me if I would share my testimony. And I have recently posted this on Facebook, and I have to say, going over this, making notes, I believe it was Yahweh has told me to go a little deeper, because this is stuff I haven't shared that I've kept hidden. So hopefully it adds to the story, the testimony, and glorifies Yahweh. Anyway, it all started 6 years ago when we had our first daughter, Esther. She's 6 years old. Went to the hospital, had a C-section, had her, and got my tubes tied, which my kids don't know that I even got my tubes tied, which means I took away the ability to have more kids. Surgically, through surgery. So beautiful daughter, we're leaving the hospital, and I hear this little voice, me, the adversary, whatever, say, oh, you're never going to give her a sister. You know, you have two sisters, but you're never going to give her a sister. And so, of course, I promptly said, get behind me, Satan, and kept going forward. I got busy with a newborn. I had two little boys. I sold all the baby clothes as soon as I could because I knew that would be, a little hiccup for me, a little tinge of regret. And it probably always will be, but I didn't, I was pushing these feelings down, this regret of maybe I did something wrong. But the feeling never really went away. 2 years, and I stuffed down my feelings, not big on showing emotion, working on that. But anyway, 2 years later, I read a book about homeschooling. I'd started homeschooling, so my life was very busy. And I read about this couple that had two kids, and then they decided, to get your tubes tied. And she came into her husband one day and asked for forgiveness for getting her tubes tied. And she asked forgiveness for Yahweh for doing it too. And I realized by reading that I never asked Yahweh if I should get my tubes tied. One very important decision in my life, but I didn't ask Yahweh. So, I didn't think I'd be this emotional right away. Anyway, I kind of pushed the feelings down, and I decided, well, I kind of punish, this is my punishment. I did it, my fault. I forgot to ask Yahweh, which I can't believe, but I just kind of pushed the feelings down. And the positive thing out of it is I adored, it made my own three children that much better for me, that much more real. I'd love to just, watch them and was amazed by, all that Yahweh had given me. But there were a couple more things that the conviction started on my heart more and more. Without sharing too much, I realized that as a female, when I would ovulate, my sex drive would increase. Well, there's a natural thing right there that Yahweh created in all, in us women. And I thought, but I took that away. I took that option away. And so again, it was kind of like this knife, here I didn't even ask the creator, the one who created me, if I should, damage myself or, ruin myself. That's how it started. That's how it started in my mind. Kept putting the feelings down. I wasn't going to let the adversary steal my joy and just kept moving. Shortly thereafter, I met a girl and she asked me, oh, you have three kids. Are you guys done having kids? And I found myself for the first time saying out loud, I hope not. And that was life changing for me because I said it out loud. I'm a very type A, everything's logical, makes sense, crossed off a list. Well, all of a sudden, my type A personality wasn't making sense anymore. And I couldn't go back to that spot in my life of why I did this. Why did I do this? And not even ask. I just couldn't go back. But I was encouraged by that. I'd said it out loud. I had made a mistake. And so I confided with my mother-in-law that I wanted more kids. I think Izzy, my husband, being, so obedient to Yahweh, I think Yahweh encouraged him. Ask her what's wrong. Ask her what's on her heart. And I still remember him doing that. He you know, hugged me at our house, and he said, what's bothering you? And I said, nothing's bothering me. He goes, no, there's something deep inside that's bothering you. And I admitted to him, I want more kids. You know, I messed up. And my husband, who has the Peter mentality of the jumper, you know, let's race out of the boat and walk on water, said, well, let's go. Let's have more kids. And I'm not Peter. I'm, oh my gosh, look at the water, we can drown. I was scared because I had read, you know, in one book, who cares, one book about how they couldn't fit, they, I couldn't be fixed. And so, well, then stuff started happening. We got the money for, I had researched it. I found that there was a local doctor online that would do it. I knew the cost wasn't too expensive, but it also was way out of our price limit. Well, Yahweh gave us the money. So here started my walk of humbling myself, because now, I mean, I had told our kids, oh, you know, I want to have more kids. You know, I want to have more babies. And I had told, I'd started writing in journals. I had a journal. I even named our children, Ruth and Caleb. I had named them. I started talking about that. I heard a teaching by Andrew Womack that he, and in his teaching, he talks about how sometimes the desires on your heart are desires that Yahweh puts on your heart, and they're his desires for you. So that took it to a whole new level. It took my selfishness, which I thought was selfishness, of asking for more kids after I damaged myself, it made it his desire, not mine. So I could still get this desire met and not have it all be about me. Because if it's Yahweh's desires for me, then if I'm not doing it, I'm being disobedient. If I'm not following through with it. And a lot of times with me, I will plug something to death if I want something. And I won't fight until, I won't stop until I've got it. Or it just won't be that important to me anymore. So that was a whole new meeting, and I thank Yahweh so much for giving me that teaching, because now it wasn't just about me. It was about Yahweh. But I still had to humble myself. I still had to make the appointment, called the office, build up all this courage, and then they were closed. But anyway, so we did that. I had to admit to people I was wrong. I actually made a mistake. That's very hard for me to do. But I don't do it a lot of times. But I did. I had to admit that I was wrong. I had done something wrong. I do a lot of things wrong. But anyway, so right before I got the doctor's appointment, I was terrified. I was paralyzed with fear. And I've never been paralyzed with fear like that before. But I realized I wasn't having faith. You know, with that, I wasn't giving Yahweh, you know, I wasn't having faith. So Yahweh gave me visions of our children. And it wasn't just one. It was a boy and a girl. I saw them running around. I clung to that. Aaron gave me a prophecy right before my doctor's appointment. And it talks about, I still listen to it, Christ and I are in a meadow. And Christ has planted the seed, and Christ goes, okay, the seed's planted, now let's go get some other stuff done. And I said, no, I want to stay here, and I want to watch it. And he goes, no, you can't watch. The seed is planted. You have to move on. I've got lots more things for you to do. And I went, well, there's my baby. That's my baby Ruth, you know, right there. Had the wonderful doctor, wonderful Christian doctor in town. Had the surgery. Went better than expected. Everything was great. 2 months later, I got pregnant, which was amazing. But then I miscarried. I can't remember if I really cried during all that. I don't remember. But what I remember about that time was we had told the kids and told everyone that we were pregnant. And I remember one of my boys crying. And that was hard because I felt like I made that pain happen. I made him cry because of all the stuff that had gone on. So that was hard. Went back to the doctor. He put me on fertility medication, but I never felt natural about it. I felt like it wasn't from Yahweh. Here was another doctor giving me a procedure, doing something. I just didn't like it. I didn't feel right about it. So after 2 months, I got off. He wanted me to do tests to see if the tubes were still open, all that other stuff. But I realized I didn't have as much faith as I thought I did. I thought I was very strong, lots of faith. But I was afraid. I didn't want to do the test. The only reason why I would do the test is because I have a rebellious nature, and I would want to prove that they were closed and then get pregnant, you know. But in all that, I was also afraid I would lose hope. And without hope, there's no faith. Hebrews 11:1. So I went on 7 months later, got pregnant again, took blood tests. There was a series, three series of blood tests that the doctor wants you to take after a reversal just to make sure, you know, it's a viable pregnancy. So I took one of the tests. It came positive. Izzy said, let's go tell everyone. And I said, but, you know, and he goes, well, then you're not having faith. Oh, okay. So we started telling people. After my second blood test, the nurse called me to say that my levels weren't doubling and I would miscarry. And she kept going, hello, hello. You know, I was stunned. You know, first of all, how dare you call and tell me this, you know. But right after that, I got off the phone and went and got a prophecy. Well, pleasing to Yahweh, went and got a prophecy, and Yahweh said, don't listen. So I didn't listen, and I wrote my journal, and I said all this stuff about, you know, how I still have a baby and all this. Well, I ended up miscarrying. And again, I saw my children crying. But I stuck with the visions that Yahweh had given me about the kid. I still can see those visions, the prophecies that Yahweh had given me. And I thought, the adversary, you're not going to take my joy. And at least I'm getting pregnant was my biggest thing. I realize now, well, okay, I'll go into that. So a year later, I think Yahweh inspired Izzy to call me again, or call me when he's at work. And he started talking. He said, do you ever see us like adopting kids like from Africa or something? And I said, yeah, I see that actually. I see me holding like a 1 or 2 year old, you know, child from Africa or wherever. I see that. I said, but that's not going to be the two children that we're going to have that I'm going to give birth to. And all of a sudden, here come all these insecurities and all this anxiety and everything that I had stuffed down for 2 years, or even more since Esther was born. It all came up, and I started crying and weeping, and Izzy listened to me, and it I don't even remember the rest of our conversation. Bits and pieces of it I remember. I just remember thinking or saying to him, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I know it's me. I know I'm doing something wrong. What am I not giving to Yahweh? I hear Aaron say that all the time. What are you not giving to Yahweh? Well, unfortunately, I can list off quite a few things that I'm not giving to Yahweh. But, you know, and I was like, well, you know, Yahweh's timing, or I'm waiting on him. So on and so forth. The conversation made me feel better. I don't know if there was any, I don't know what Izzy felt about it. But I got off the phone and Yahweh said to me, you know, because I had said I'm waiting on Yahweh, Yahweh said to me, I'm waiting on you. And so I remember sitting down and thinking, all right, if you're waiting on me, then I'm going to give it my all. I'm going to do whatever. And Tim had a teaching, I think that week or even the same day. And it was, I don't remember what his teaching was about, but he gave us a scripture, John 14:27, which is Yehoshua talking to his disciples saying, peace I leave with you. My own peace give I unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And so I found out I was pregnant 2 weeks later, and I clung to that scripture like none other. And what I realize now in doing this testimony, because this testimony, anytime you reveal your heart, I think, or especially for me, Yahweh blesses you tenfold. But see, in all of that, what I realize is I now had a weapon. That scripture, Yahweh's word, was my weapon against those negative thoughts. And I didn't have a weapon before. Could have, but I didn't. And so with this weapon, with this scripture, I fought it. I put on Facebook, I said it 30, 40, 50. I might have said it 150 times a day. But any time, any negative thought came into my mind, because the times before they did too, but I didn't have a weapon to fight it off. But this time I did. And so I said that scripture over and over and over again. And realizing with saying that scripture, it's about peace, but I got joy. Joy and calmness and like I'd never felt before. And I remember telling Izzy, I have joy, but the scripture's about peace. I didn't get it. So this time we did the three blood tests, and we didn't tell anybody about it until after we did the three blood tests. And I remember the nurse calling me. It took forever. They were like a day late on the results. And she called me, and I couldn't believe it. Because, you know, yeah, you're fine. You're pregnant. We want a sonogram, you know, all this kind of stuff. And I fell to my knees saying, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve it. I'm so unworthy. But see that, you know, who deserves anything but Yahweh? And so we told people on Christmas Day that we were pregnant, and I started bleeding that night. But it was different, and I knew it was different, and it wasn't extreme. I'd never bled before during my pregnancies unless it was miscarriage, but I knew it was different. This was different. I was not going down. And so went skiing the next day. Izzy had to work, so he stayed home, went skiing. Didn't tell anybody. I've been bleeding. Not a big deal. Because I'm keeping it all, stuffing it all in, saying my scripture. Told him when I got home that I had kind of been bleeding. He blew it off. He was my rock, and that's what I needed from Izzy. I don't have a lot of strength if it's not with him. But with Izzy, no big deal. There's a reason. Went to the doctor. Great. You know, no, they couldn't explain it. My OB actually explained it. I don't even remember when I stopped bleeding. I just remember it didn't matter. I don't remember when I stopped bleeding, and it didn't matter. And so, you know, it went on perfect from there. In the meantime, we, sold our house, bought a house, amazing stuff happened above and beyond what anything we had ever imagined. And here I was pregnant again. I always wanted a VBAC delivery. VBAC is, you know, a vaginal delivery after a C-section. I had 3 C-sections. 2 of my last kids were breech. My doctor kind of said, yeah, sure. If you're complete and you come to the hospital, sure, I'll let you try. I think he was just being nice. What I realize now, another thing I realized with making up this testimony, is I had confession lists with my first 2 boys. I have to say, my last 2 girls, my pregnancy, I didn't have confession lists. With my first 2 boys, I had confession lists. What I realize now, the other day, with talking with Aaron, how my labor went, how the delivery went with Ruth, our daughter, I forgot to say that, was in those 2 confession lists years ago with my 2 boys that were 9 and 11 years old. You know, Yahweh knew those desires. I had said them a long time ago, but he knew those desires, and he made them happen. So I got to the delivery room, and I got to have a VBAC, which is amazing, because I don't think any other doctor would have done it. I think all the nurses were against it. But since all the steps were made and I was complete by the time the doctor got there, he let me, you know, and I think through Yahweh, it happened. So, but I didn't, in all this, and I'm sorry, I'm backtracking. In all this, I felt like I couldn't ask for a VBAC. I had gotten to have another baby. We had gotten the house we wanted. All this stuff was happening. I didn't think that asking for a VBAC, I thought that was a little too much. You know, I'm not going to ask that. That's a little over the top. So the amazing part to that, and what I want to conclude with is, and what I said on Facebook, is a lot of times we're not asking for enough. It's not that we're asking for too much. It's that we're not asking for enough. I mean, Yahweh is the creator of the universe. He can give you everything. And then it doesn't have to make sense. It doesn't have to meet my logical explanation for everything. But the thing that you're not doing is you're not asking. And that's the key right there. Yahweh could be waiting on you. So I encourage you all to not live with regret. And that's one thing that encouraged me to, you know, even have the surgery, was I didn't want to live with regret. I didn't want to have that, not saying it's darkness, but have that spot on in my heart. And so I encourage you to fulfill those desires that are on your heart, because they could be Yahweh's, especially if they're not going away. I encourage you to do that, and if you don't, then you're being disobedient. So anyway, and all that, there you go. Sorry, I went way over the time. I'm not even looking to see what time it is.